Hey guys, welcome to Late Night with Get On My Level.
It's our new series where we take a piece of media, take it apart, analyze it, and kind of say what we're thinking about it.
It's not like our usual show. It's a bit different. Enjoy.
And tonight, we're talking about Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
I'm Sean.
I'm Connell.
And I'm Michael.
And this is Late Nights.
And this isn't just a regular show. This isn't your mom and dad's podcast show. This is one that you don't tell your teachers in the morning.
This is one that your teachers ask you about and you're like, poof.
Don't know anything about that.
Yeah, you lie and say you were doing homework or some other bullshit.
So we're going to be talking about the 2002 masterpiece. I say masterpiece.
Because it is a masterpiece.
You are right.
Spider-Man.
The original Spider-Man.
So what's our experiences with Spider-Man?
So I saw it when I was a kid.
Yep.
Because that's when it came out.
Yep.
And I loved it.
Yep.
Because it's Spider-Man.
Because it's Spider-Man. And now I love it because it's great.
And I can get feels from it.
Yeah. It's such a good movie.
Did you guys see it in the cinema?
No.
I don't think... I definitely saw the second one in the cinema.
I think I had it on VHS.
I don't think I was old enough to see the first one in the cinema. Because, mm-hmm. 2002 came out.
Aye.
Yeah, I was five. So I don't think I was... Because it was a 12, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And well, sure, it should be, anyway.
Yeah, and the second one's a PG. That's why I got to see that in the cinema.
Mm-hmm.
But...
So I think my connection with the Spider-Man franchise... obviously I may have watched it on the DVD. I think that's when I first caught it there, but my main memory of the first Spider-Man is through the PS2 game, because
nice.
It was the first game I had for the PS2 when I got it.
Yeah.
So I remember all the story of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that the one with the Vulture?
Yeah, there's a Vulture and you go in a building and such, because I remember that was that was the default, demo game for the PS2. They used to have the old...
It's because it was Sony.
Yeah,
Sony. Yeah.
Sony run it. I had something there.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to say?
Your notes are then.
Sam Raimi?
Sam Raimi, that was it. How did you know it?
Because it's something that I want to talk about.
Evil Dead 2 is obviously one of my favourite films, if not my favourite film. And... obviously, I saw Spider-Man before I saw Evil Dead.
Assumedly so.
Yeah, and just everything Sam Raimi touches, I think just most of the things that Sam Raimi touches turns to gold. Yeah, I even liked Oz the Great and Powerful. I thought it was alright.
I even liked Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 3 is great.
Sam Raimi's underrated for his, directorial style. Because it's not in your face a Michael Bay and a fucking J.J. Abrams.
I would still say it's quite visually, you can tell that it's Sam Raimi.
When you look at the film, you can see, especially when it comes to villains, I think. It's focusing on villains, just the way they're shot, I always think.
When you think of when Willem Dafoe's talking to himself in the mirror and stuff.
Yeah, that feels very Sam... what it always reminds me of in Army of Darkness is when Ash is talking to Evil Ash.
Yeah.
And obviously that came out before Spider-Man, but...
No, that's where his inspiration came from there. He he's a fan of the techniques that he's used since the beginning.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Big fan of practical effects as well.
Oh, yeah. And
set pieces.
Yeah.
Loves a set piece.
They didn't use it in the film, but you've probably seen the footage of the original Green Goblin mask that they were going to use, where it wasn't a helmet. It was an actual animatronic mask thing.
I'm actually not. I'm sure I've seen it before, but it's not something that comes to my head. I'm just going to do that while you
mean. I think they didn't use it because it's pretty scary, and they were okay, we're allowing a 12 rating because, you know, 12's alright, but if we put this in it, it'll probably have to be bumped up to a 15.
Do you know, a horror mask?
It looks pretty scary, yeah. I'm pretty sure in the demo for it, it laughs it cackles.
Oh,
Yeah.
I remember that I used to watch the Spider-Man franchise on...
Was it a cartoon?
Yeah, the cartoon. I can't remember. It was Amazing Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man.
Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah, one of the cartoon ones. Where it came out at the same time with X-Men and such. But it still had that kind of electric pop version.
Right?
Yeah, the kind of one almost an alien mask.
Yeah.
And then I'm assuming that's it laughing.
Yeah.
Right there.
Fuck that.
Yeah, it looked...
To be fair, design-wise, the second Green Goblin, like the fucking armored metal design,
it's intimidating.
It's sick.
Yeah, it's cool.
I fucking love it, man. Like, it was so cool. I remember having the action figures. Mm. So there was a Spider-Man, which would, like, it was, like, fully posable, and then you could put through, like, the middle two fingers.
Oh, yeah.
Put them down so he could web shoot, and then he'd attach to, like, the building stuff.
Yeah.
And then have the Green Goblin with, like, the glider.
Yeah. I
the mask came off as well.
One of my specific memories of Spider-Man toys is in Woolworths, which does not exist anymore. They had these like door alarm things, like for kids, you know, like keep your parents out of your room type yeah. thing, and it would just be like Spider-Man and like the
pose. I'm wanking.
Why's on the back?
Yeah, so you'd put it in like the hall near your room, and if someone like walked past it, it would trip like the sensors.
Yeah,
and then it would go halt. It's halt, criminal. I'm Spider-Man and stuff. Like, or like if you got the Green Goblin one, it'd be like freeze, Spidey, and stuff like that.
And then your parents kept shooting up the house, so you had to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Ah, spider!
Yeah, my dad likes guns.
I think it may have been one of the first times I saw the film. I was at my grand's house, and the Spider-Man was on the TV, and I was playing with... I think it may have been a Spider-Man Lego set, or it may have just been like a bank, but I may have like used one of the toys as Spider-Man, because I wanted to be Spider-Man.
He's the superhero that every kid wants to be.
Yeah.
Like, obviously some kids want to be more specific superheroes, especially now with things like...
Specific superheroes.
Well, no, I want to be Moon Knight.
Everyone wants to be... I think when kids grow maybe a bit more and they explore comic books more, they probably want...
Specific superheroes, like...
Yeah.
Captain North Carolina.
Yeah, well, they realize that there's more out there, but I think...
Captain Omaha, Texas.
Captain Omaha, Texas. There's one for every city and every state.
No, I think, like, I know what you mean, like, kids may want to be, like, Iron Man.
Oh, yeah, there's a larger variety of superheroes available.
Especially now, but I think every kid at some point in their life has wanted to be Spider-Man.
Man, I still want to be Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'd love to be Spider-Man.
No, I wouldn't want to be Spider-Man. I don't feel so good.
But yeah, he's the quintessential superhero.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he's well, especially for young kids as well. He's just like the friendly neighborhood kid who gets superpowers, and he tries to do good, and he tries to keep his aunt safe, and he wants to have a girlfriend, but things are strained there. I mean, I'm not sure about how women relate to Spider-Man, whether they see him as, like, a figure that they can aspire to be, or whether it's someone that they find attractive, but obviously, speaking as a white dude, and Spider-Man being a white dude, I can be like, hey, I can relate to that.
I mean, he was Marvel's, like, poster boy for years until, like, all the, like, Iron Man and Captain America.
Oh, yeah, no, he started kind of, like...
Well, I always...
Like, this was one of...
I have my notes here about...
The tippity-top superhero.
Yeah, well, X-Men... Obviously, other than, like, the original Batmans and Supermans.
Oh, yeah.
X-Men, like, kind of started this new wave of superhero, but I believe the first Spider-Man really perfected it. Because, like, the first X-Men is decent, but it's not Spider-Man good.
Because, like, the X-Men came out, and then they're like, wait, Spider-Man, right? Now we can make other films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, supposedly, during production of this, there was meant to be, like a Wolverine cameo.
I read about that, and that blew my mind. I was like, this could have been mental.
Yeah.
It would have been, like, Marvel Cinematic Universe, pre-Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, before
Universe.
It even happened.
But also, it would have been shoddy.
Shit.
Like, it would have fucking...
Don't get me wrong, I'm really glad how the Marvel Universe has panned out right now, but the first Spider-Man, the first two Spider-Men... just will always hold that special place in my heart.
Like, I think the first Spider-Man, in the way that most fucking Marvel films nowadays are just, like we were saying earlier, that it's just an advert for the next film with these films nowadays. This film ends, there's a lot of open questions that can be answered.
Mm-hmm. They don't have to be.
But then it's not a case in which, you're like, what happens here? But it doesn't... openly just like, but what about this?
It's self-contained.
It's self-contained. Like, the end, the very end scene of the first one,
he's walking away from the funeral,
he's like,
and may say that a hero can save us.
And he's doing the speech like, who am I? You sure you want to know?
My name's Jeff.
The Danny Elfman theme plays and it's,
I can't remember it, but Oh, it's so good.
And that even they like had the cool like opening titles where they show like scenes from the film but not spoil anything.
Yeah, really good. And you were saying how like it doesn't have any of that. And here's what's gonna happen next time. That's something that I think the Amazing Spider-Man films with Andrew Garfield, I think they really lost the charm of the originals when they did that.
Yeah.
Because like the first Spider-Man, the first Amazing Spider-Man has a whole thing about like his dad.
Yeah.
Being something, like his mum and dad were scientists or some shite.
Yeah, and then there's a whole thing of like his, like there's the guy in the shadows, he's just like, I'm here, and lightning strikes him and it's a shadow guy, he's like, it's me. And you're like, who?
Does this ever pay off?
No, because Spider-Man's in Marvel now. The second one's really bad for it because Electro happens and Green Goblin happens.
Because they wanted to have the Sinister State.
Yeah, and the guy literally walks past like Dr. Octopus's arms, Vulture's wings, like the whole thing, and you're just like, just fucking stop. Just have a movie. Yeah. Like, no one cares about the Sinister Six.
I mean, I do, but also, don't try force it in.
Yeah, like
it'd be like if like in Starship Troopers they walk past a soldier and they're just like, hey, what's his story? And then continue walking. Yeah. It's like, no, I don't need that baggage.
Yeah.
Don't put that on me.
That's something. And like I say what I will about the Amazing Spider-Man movies.
You can.
Yeah, they did handle some things really well. Gwen Stacy's death and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That, but like, they're just not as good. Like, even Spider-Man 3, I would say, is still even better than both the Amazing Spider-Mans.
Well, questionable.
Well, we watched the first trilogy before Spider-Man Homecoming came out, and what I realized is that every time I watch the first Spider-Man, I cry like a baby.
Because Macho Man Randy Savage is in it?
Obviously.
Ooh, yeah!
Bonesaw is ready!
Oh, don't you touch my TV!
Boy, I
don't think that's the line.
The thing that I always say is that,
oh, I'm keeping my wife in the wardrobe in backstage because no one better be looking at my wife.
Brother.
Why can he say the N-word?
But I noticed that what this Spider-Man does that the Marvel Universe is lacking is quiet moments.
Oh yeah, I wrote that down in my notes as well.
Or serious moments.
Yeah, because like
aren't broken with. Oh.
The bit that sticks out to me is when Peter is just sitting by Aunt May when she's in the hospital and there's no dialogue. Yeah, he just looks at her.
Just holds her hand.
And it's like really moving.
Yeah, it's just
Or even just like snappy lines that mean much more. Like, obviously, you can say 1,000 sentences, but like, and then have you like tell an amazing story, but the fact that four words you have at the end, Norman Osborn saying, Peter, don't tell Harry.
Yeah,
that's just like that's like there's so that's much
huge
four words. Yeah. It sets up like a relationship. One, it sets a significant moment in the past.
Yeah,
significant moment right then and there, and then there's stakes
future shit
in
as
the
well.
Future, and there's stakes.
Yeah.
Because
it's
like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
No, that's his reaction to that. It just cuts to Tobey Maguire like, oh.
Why'd you go say that?
Oh, come on.
You could have monologued. Why did you could
have said some shit.
Oh, why didn't you just die?
Just pushes him further.
Yeah.
Peter, don't tell. Die. No,
didn't hear you. Didn't hear you.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I've got my Walkman in. I can't hear you. And they say,
oh, but. All the movies are good for that. The villains are so good in these movies.
They're well written.
Yeah, they're so well written. And I'm not saying that the Marvel Universe right now doesn't have good villains. Thanos was great in Infinity War. Killmonger, obviously. People dislike Loki because I think they're a bit tired of him, but he's still good. Like, he's still a good villain.
Well, yeah, he's pardon me, interesting.
Yeah. So, like, but
but within one film, you get all of, like, yeah, Harry Osborn, like, Norman Osborn.
Norman, yeah, Green Goblin is so great.
And the fact that they topped themselves with Dr. Octopus.
Yeah, Dr. Octopus is even better.
Like, legit, the first two films are just turmoil.
Yeah.
And like that, I think if they just done Sandman in the third film, then like the story is there. Obviously, it would. I guess they kind of needed a twist because they can't just have like villain of the week.
Well,
and then yeah, it's sad and Spider-Man kills him.
My theory for that is that Sam Raimi wanted to just do Sandman and then have New Goblin, like Harry Osborn, at the end. But the I feel like it was studio interaction that were like, Sandman's not like the most well-known Spider-Man villain. Maybe we should put Venom in there. And he kind of like...
Maybe not.
Because Venom really does feel like tacked on.
Yeah, no, he definitely tacked on, but and it was the main point of marketing as well, because, like, I think, I mean, if memory serves me correct, when the first Spider-Man 3 trailer came out, it was a shot at the end of, I think it was, like, Eddie Brock on the ground going, ah, and then it's Venom screaming and it goes into his mouth.
Yeah.
A very fucking Evil Dead shot right there as well.
Like, yeah. Well, I think I remember from the third one is him waking up. And he's, like, on the building with the black suit. And he's kind of, like... And he, like...
It pans over.
Yeah, it pans round. And, like, he takes his hack. Like, he can just stand on the building with his feet.
Yeah.
And, like, totally defy gravity. And he's like, this is amazing.
I think there's also a shot in the trailer as well where it shows, like, normal Spider-Man. Like, red-blue Spider-Man. And then it pans round and it's black Spider-Man looking at red-blue Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot you could do. But also, it was just very, like... Let's appeal to the edgy kid market.
Yeah.
And I think it is the point in which... Like, as myself, me going into it, I'm like, oh, wow, this will be so cool. Black Spider-Man, wow. And then...
It's alright. It's an alright film.
I mean, Venom is coming out soon as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're not talking about
Venom. We're talking about Spider-Man.
We're not talking about Spider-Man 1, 2, 3. We're talking about Spider-Man.
The
Spider-Man.
The OG.
Now, I think that they did the... Yeah, great power, great responsibility. Fucking this film, iconic.
Yeah.
And that, then like that has been parodied so many times, even in like other Spider-Man movies. Yeah. That because like there's a is it in
Homecoming?
It's in Civil War.
That's when they change up.
Yeah, in Civil War, when Iron Man comes to
Peter's
house, and Peter's like, oh, when you can do the things that I can do, you have the power to help people, but you don't. You're just as bad as like anyone else, and I can't remember what Tony Stark says, but he says something like, "That's good. You should write that down," or something like that. And it's like even Spider-Man itself parodies Spider-Man because that moment is so ingrained in people.
Is Tobey Maguire still your Spider-Man?
Oh yeah, Tobey Maguire is my Spider-Man. Like legit, it's just when I imagine Spider-Man, I imagine him. Sadly, I still imagine also like. Finger point in Spider-Man as well. Like it's something that you can't really ignore.
Yeah,
because it's kind of it stained it. Stained the whole like Tobey Maguire franchise. But like, he was an amazing actor. Like it, like his expressions. Like
oh, he's got range.
Yeah.
Like he's.
Well, you were talking about little lines that mean a lot.
Yeah.
In the first act, just give me a chance. What about my uncle? Did you give him a chance?
Oh yeah.
And he pushes him out. Oh, it's so good.
And that's the end of the first act.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
A perfect first act.
Like, the film segmented so well.
Yeah, perfectly paced. Perfectly paced.
And they perfectly cast J. Jonah Jameson.
We can't
talk about Spider-Man without talking about that.
Oh, mate, I fucking love the meme that's going around. It's just like, normal boyfriends ask you for nudes. Real boyfriend should ask you for pictures of Spider-Man.
I remember when he got cast in Justice League and everyone replaced it with, I want pictures of Batman.
he needs to be just J. Jonah Jameson in every iteration of Spider-Man.
Wasn't there a rumor that he was going to be in the new Spider-Man?
Yeah, because like there was, I'm pretty sure there was like not an Indiegogo, like a... change.org to have him be J. Jonah Jameson in Spider-Man Homecoming.
I think it's a thing like your man's as Wolverine, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
He needs to be Wolverine.
Yeah. Like. But it's so weird because we're not talking about like Spider-Man or any other major we're talking about J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
Like a side character.
I think it's the way he encapsulates the cartoon character.
Yeah.
But it's so realistic as a cartoonish character.
Yeah.
That it's just it.
I mean, the whole film is like a cartoon, but it's just, but it's got depth to it.
Yeah, well, I, in my notes I've got, it's the perfect comic book movie because it feels like you're reading like a really good comic book. Mm. You're just seeing it like literally come alive in front of you, which if you're reading a good comic book, hopefully happens.
Soundtrack is kick-ass as
oh,
well.
Oh, yeah.
Sum 41 and like, yeah. Chad
Rock!
Kroger.
That's what we live for!
And like Saliva. Yeah. All on is, that is just like, it's so 2002.
Yeah.
But those songs are still kicking. Like,
yeah.
Well, we joke about the hero song, but we joke about it because it's
a it's sick. Such a good song.
Someone told me yeah. Love would all save us.
And all the killing and blood spilling that won't ever
and they say that a hero can save us.
I'm not Oh, we're not doing it? Yeah. Fucking hell, that's a good song.
It's a great contrast as well. Like, the film contrasts comedy with serious as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
And it's got that perfect balance in which it's not, like I mentioned earlier in conversation, say it with the Marvel Universe where tension is built and then it's kind of eased
a joke.
With
yeah.
a gag. You do have the funny moments of fly,
aye.
Go web, go, Shazam. Like yeah. he's trying all the different things and it's funny. And then him like being a dork and like, and then like catching the plates in the
yeah,
perfect way.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's nice and comic-y, but then like it kind like it's nice and light at the start and then it kind of descends.
Yeah, I think when Uncle Ben dies, that's when like it really
hits home.
And like we talk about like scary moments, we're looking at the Green Goblin, the original Green Goblin. The bit where like it's the burning building, mm-hmm. and he goes in to like save someone, and she's in like the cloak, and then
oh,
it turns around, and it's just Green Goblin screaming at him. That's terrifying
for a child.
For a child, that's scary.
Green Goblin's like actually terrifying in general. Like when he first gets injected with a venom, and he like he jumps out
yeah,
and he's
yeah.
like he's there. I think like Willem Dafoe did his stunt, like did his
yeah,
own stunt.
Willem Dafoe's
only most
brilliant.
Of them.
He's
yeah.
perfect as well.
Yeah, he's perfect as well. And also like the classic, you know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
he also does it when he fucking like bombs the shit out of the guys in the nuclear testing plant.
Yeah, and they just turn to skeletons.
Yeah,
yeah, that's mental. And
the bit when the blood falls from the ceiling, he's
tension,
so
iconic.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Even the costume design, like he wears like a green tie with a red shirt or something.
Oh yeah, in that scene, Peter Parker's got the green tie, got the green shirt with a like kind of like purpley tie, and then Norman Osborn has a red shirt with a blue tie,
yeah.
or a blue shirt with a red tie, something like that, and you're just like.
Contrast.
Oh, but the blood, like, that's such an iconic thing. Like, the fact that this movie was, like, the basis of parody movies.
Why?
And
yeah.
so many parody things, like, there's a superhero movie,
yeah.
or the thing, like, the scary movie franchise where he's on the wall.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he's on the ceiling, but he needs to pee.
Yeah.
yeah.
And then, like, a little bit of pee dribbles out the suit and lands.
Yeah.
And he's just like, where's that going?
Yeah, there's so much to parody. I think that's a sign of something quality, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like
you want to parody something good.
Yeah, you look at Star Wars and how many times that's been parodied. Like, but...
oh, even earlier, like we were saying, Alien.
Yeah,
like, Alien. It's like these scenes and these snippets are just like pop culture, just gold.
Yeah, and... feed me gold. I hope that it remains relevant as the years go by. Yeah, well... you say that, but like, look at the event that Infinity War was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think will be more relevant?
No, I think in comparison to like Spider-Man, in comparison to Infinity War, right now, Spider-Man was a standalone, and I don't
yeah.
think it was like a big cultural impact because it wasn't the climax. It was kind of like, hey, this guy who's like an indie director, he's
yeah.
done a couple things, but like, he's trying out a superhero movie, and you're like, I mean, X-Men was cool. What about this? And you're trying to like, that's fucking. It's like my old stand up bit I did about like making spaghetti.
Right.
If you're a chef, you make spaghetti and it's just bare bones, but you've got quality ingredients to it, and you're like, hey, that's pretty good. And then the second time you do it, you're like, yeah, I'll add a bit of spice to it.
Yeah,
you know, maybe a bit of seasoning. You know, go for something there, and then you're like, oh hey. That's amazing. Then you try spaghetti again, and you're like, you get a bit overzealous.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, how about let's put some spice, yeah, some cyanide. I'll make my own pasta sauce, and then cyanide. Oh fuck, I fucked it. Oh
yeah.
no, oh fuck, guys. we need to make this again with some new chefs.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you get Infinity War without Spider-Man.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh, no.
Hell no.
You don't get the Marvel Universe without this Spider-Man. Or without the success of this first Spider-Man. Hey.
Like, I remember when we saw Civil War, and when it came up Queens on the screen, we fucking lost our shit.
Ourselves.
So, like, we're actually going to see Spider-Man again.
Yeah, because like, that was a cultural thing as well. Like, the fact that Spider-Man was now in the Marvel Universe. Yeah.
Shows how much it means to
me. I say that's more of a social cultural thing, because it's a case of like, oh, this company owns the rights, rather than it's just like it was going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
And I think it's nice that you've got a character that's spanning across multiple companies and you kind of have two different views of it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I think that's what people like about Batman, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because like,
you kind of have the different director.
Yeah, Batman was really cool, and then he kind of wasn't again, and then he was cool again, but in a different way.
Yeah.
I'd say you've got a great parallelism between this, the Spider-Man franchise, and the Iron Man franchise, both made by two directors who you kind of wouldn't like put as one big money names.
Yeah,
one's like a horror director and one's like a comedy.
Yeah,
family friendly, really.
Yeah, kind of. And then you put them both together, and then like the first film, great, you know, Pasta Chef. Second one, bit more to it, and then third one, it's like. Bit too much there.
Yeah. Well,
Watch the movie Chef. That's what I'm saying.
Well, the second Iron Man wasn't that good.
But the third Iron Man isn't even
John Favreau.
It's Shane Black.
Yeah. That's why Chef was made.
Yeah. So maybe John Favreau went a bit overboard with it too early.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Was that his fault or was that Marvel?
I still think Marvel was a bit like, because everyone goes on about the first phase of Marvel. Like, out of the five films before the Avengers.
I think one sec, let's wrap this up, because I think we're talking too much about the Marvel Universe rather than Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, fair enough.
Great vision, great sound, great shots. Amazing performances. James Franco.
Franco really brings it in that
a kick
movie.
Out, like kicking the door, and you're like, it's me, your boy.
Even fucking Joe Manganiello was Flash Thompson.
Yeah.
Before Deathstroke.
Yeah. He's a great moment in the whole movie where, like, you get the first real inkling of his spider sense, where, like, Flash's, like, fist.
He just moves.
And he just moves like it's nothing.
It's still a bit of comedy there as well, is that?
Yeah. He's...
I think there's, like, a sound. I'm like, Sam, I don't think we can have him say, what the frickety fuck?
is that not what the kids say?
Yeah, well, no. the shot isn't even that long. Like, it's like four seconds.
We'll have it in slow motion.
Alright.
Trust me, I made Evil Dead.
Really?
Yeah.
Right,
the scene where the upside down kiss.
Also
an iconic moment.
For all the right reasons.
We saw the start of like Shrek 2, and there's a bit in Shrek 2 where he has the muddle over his face and he's hanging upside down, and Fiona like puts it away and kisses him.
Yeah,
like that's parodied endlessly as well.
So as this film, for a superhero movie in which most people can like throw away, this was like pre like superhero movies being important, being big, some blockbusters.
It's pre Batman Begins.
People fucking took this shit and went, oh fuck, this is something important.
We can do this.
Yeah, we could. And like you said, there would be no fucking Avengers. There'd be no Justice Leagues. There'd be probably not even be like a Dark Knight trilogy if it wasn't for this film.
Yeah.
Like, its cultural significance is massive.
And also, Sam Raimi, amazing director.
Amazing director.
Still amazing, yeah. Well, he hasn't done much lately.
Now, Drag Me to Hell was a bit.
I
think he's more of a name now when it comes to producing.
Yeah, he produced.
If there's like a horror film, he's just like, I'll put a bit of money to that.
Just put my name on it.
Yeah, Don't Breathe, he produced, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
To wrap up, the best scene in Spider-Man.
What are we like going round?
Yeah, going round. What's the best scene?
Bonesaw. The wrestling. Like, legit, love that shit. Because it's just tight of Macho Man Randy Savage just hamming and cheesing it up.
Yeah.
Like a motherfucker. Yeah. I only like that just because it, like, gives me good feels. On a serious note, fucking the conversation in the car. The fucking great power, great responsibility.
My favourite scene is actually the bit after that when they come back from the funeral and it's either Peter or Aunt May says, I missed him today. And that's the bit that always gets me.
Yeah.
I'm tailored up right
now. I think the shot, counter shot of them in the car is it's iconic. Like,
oh,
I, when I speak about it, I can see it in my head.
For me, like for serious moment, it was the one you said earlier, the one don't tell Harry, because that bit gets me every time.
The best part about it is because he's like all goblin and stuff, but then it's like his moment.
It's him. Norman.
Yeah.
And if we're going badass scene, I always remember Green Goblin, one hand Mary Jane.
Oh, one hand.
One hand with the kids in the monorail.
And then slow mo.
Yeah, and then he drops them, and he's like, save one.
That's sick.
Yeah, that's awesome. But yeah, Spider-Man.
do you have another one that isn't serious, like one that's badass or one that's...
I just like the bit when he just learns to fly, like, or like swing across buildings.
And he's like,
he's just really happy.
Yeah.
I love that.
And then he goes on the flagpole.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's good.
It was so good.
Spider-Man was great.
Yeah.
It's a shame that they ruined it. Oh, fuck, no. So, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
And if you weren't listening, that was an episode of Get On My Level.
If you want to keep up with all the things we're doing, like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at Get On My Level PC. The PC stands for podcast. There's also our personal Twitters. I'm at MyKind.
I'm at Connell Wood.
And I'm at DeathCampSean.
And Sean's the only one with a nickname.
Oh, you.
And feel free to drop us a message on any one of those forms of media, just saying whether you enjoyed an episode or not. And if you did enjoy it, leave a rating on your podcasting app. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you can keep up to date on all the episodes as they come out. Just so you know, they're bi-weekly.
And remember to stay tuned and
stay happy.
That was nice.
Fuck you.